Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sam Legasic.
And I'm Dreadful Dan Gallagher. And we're two old buddies that have lived our life at the edge of the mainstream.
So come join us where things are a little odd. This is the...
Of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder. Hey everyone, welcome to Oddcast Movies, Music, Gaming. It's me, Sam. How's it going? And here with me is Dan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm very good. Dan, you've got a bit of a special one for us today. No, it's not about Dan's closeted homosexuality. Instead, we're talking about another film. And I'll play a little clip of it now. But Dan, what is this film?
It is called The Hidden.
Ooh, let's have a listen.
I want this car.
Jonathan Miller would never do anything to break the law.
I need the keys. Thank you. Bye.
He is a very fine, very honest gentleman.
Something strange is happening to some ordinary people.
Yeah, that's Jack. Real nice man. What did he do, rob a bank?
He's a law-abiding taxpayer minding his own business. Killed 12 people, wounded 23 more, stole 6 cars, most of them Ferraris. If anybody deserves to go that way, it sure in the hell's him.
So, The Hidden, 1987. Dan, how did you stumble upon this film? Because you made me watch it. I haven't heard of it before. I knew nothing about it going in. So how did you come across it?
I literally came across it a week ago. And I was amazed, actually, that I've never heard of it before because it seems right in my ballpark and yours. So I thought maybe you'd seen it before, actually. But yeah, I just thought, wow, it's not particularly obscure as well. It was made by a big production company, got a cinema release, etc. But yeah, I mean, well, let me tell you a little bit more about it. Sci-fi kind of thriller. Like you said, 1987, so it's like right in that nice little patch of kind of period that I like.
Yeah.
It's just, I love films like this. I find them sort of like gently reassuring, these kind of like...
High concept.
90 minutes, yeah, it's like not too convoluted, complicated, nice simple little sci-fi thriller. Bish bash bosh. You're done. You know, it's not amazing, I don't think, but it was entertaining.
Yeah.
Written by Jim Koof, I've never heard of. Jack Shoulder directed it, starring Michael Norrie and Carl McLaughlin. That's what kind of drew me in.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's the thing is that, so the director I knew, I've heard somewhere that he'd done Nightmare on Elm Street 2 before this. I don't know what he did afterwards.
Okay.
But yeah.
What do you think of Nightmare on Elm Street 2? Have you seen that?
I can't remember which one it is. I get confused between them.
It's a bit of a weird one. They kind of retconned it when they did number 3. Yeah, it's a bit of a funny one.
Yeah,
I watched them all last year. And
oh, really? Yeah, there's like, yeah. Well, if you're excluding Versus Jason and stuff, there's 5? Is there 5?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, don't know.
6, can't remember.
Maybe 6, yeah, excluding reboots and all this shit. But yeah, apparently that guy, who did you say, who's the Carl McLaughlin's the other cop? What's his name?
Michael Norrie.
Yeah, so he apparently got offered to do Lethal Weapon. And it
I
went
can
to
see him in that.
Yeah,
that would
and
work.
It went to Mel Gibson. Yeah, well, it's just weird because it is like the same kind of thing, you know, cops, buddy cop stuff. So Dan, like before we kind of get into it, what is this film actually about?
It is about a cop and he is paired with an FBI agent. And initially he doesn't like that because I suppose he's kind of like treading on his toes.
Mm.
FBI agent played by Carl McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And
pre Twin Peaks as well, you should say, right?
So. Pre Twin Peaks. Yeah. The overarching kind of like thing I took away from this is it's kind of basically like a long episode of the X-Files.
Yeah.
But with Carl McLaughlin as Fox Mulder instead of David Duchovny.
Yeah, Dale Cooper, yeah.
Yeah, like a mix between Fox Mulder and Dale Cooper. Like it is a bit of a proto-Dale Cooper. And there's some other quite Twin Peaksy things going on in this film.
Mm.
Yeah, I can't remember what happens at the beginning. Basically, they're trying to chase this. Yeah, they're chasing this guy. And he's just plowing through cars. They can't take him down. He's getting riddled with bullets. Mm. And he's in the hospital. So they think this FBI agent's appeared because he's investigating this incident.
This man who's been on, been doing this shit for like a couple of weeks or whatever.
And when this guy dies, it's kind of like, well, why are you hanging around? Mm. But the reason that he dies is because when no one's in the room, in the hospital room, and this is happens quite early on, and really it's the best part of the film.
Yeah, it's cool.
He sort of vomits. No, not vomits. That makes it sound like he's just a cipher.
He's not actually regurgitating. Yeah, he's just kind of opening his mouth to allow...
The being that's entered him emerges, and it is really, really cool and sick. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, apparently it was all stop motion. And the guy who was the guy laying down who received it, the older gent who goes off, apparently when he watched it in the editing room or whatever, he felt so sick he had to leave the room.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so, because I mean, it looks good. Like a big slug ball of snot. It's got spidery kind of legs.
Yeah.
It's just really gross. And it's
very slimy.
Like a primal, visceral kind of level.
But it's also that thing, and I always like this, which is where they take, I always think that's the best kind of horror, which takes things that your brain is comfortable in seeing and twists it slightly. So instead of it being like, and what I mean is like their mouths and faces. So, you know, sometimes if you like, you see a horror movie and it's like, here's a big monster. And it's like, whatever. And you're like, okay, cool. But if it's like, you know, if you see like something that looks like a human figure in shape, but it's all like distorted or extended or like limbs are funny, then it fucks with you a bit more because it plays into that fear of like, you know, disability. It doesn't feel quite right. So when they're like mouths are stretching open, it's coming out and they're like, and it's all like the, you know, it's all pushing up and it's all going through their veins or whatever at one point later on. It just looks fucking horrible from that side of it as well. Not just the creature itself is what I'm saying.
It's that distortion, isn't it? Makes you feel ill. this bit as well, it reminded me of an episode of The X-Files specifically, where they do a kind of flashback, I think, to the 20s or 30s. Maybe not that far, maybe it was like the 50s. Anyway, they do a flashback and like you see the young cigarette smoking man and all this, but basically it's like...
The black is.
It's just like spider alien thing that's living inside of someone.
Oh, yeah. And he kind of crawls out the mouth. It kind of puts his claws out the mouth, right?
And exactly, like, yeah. And they're doing experiments to try and graft it into somebody.
That's right, yeah. Jesus, yeah. Remember that now.
But that looks exactly the same. Except without the added goop. Anyway, this thing enters this poor other guy who's in the hospital room. And for then a significant portion of this movie, he is the carrier of the alien, which is good fun because he's a kind of like bumbling, just like a sort of 50-60-year-old man. Yeah. And he's just going around looking sicker and sicker, more pallid and greasy and... Really, it's really good actually. In his crappy kind of like sports jacket. But yeah, then essentially the film is tracking this alien entity from human body to body, host to host. And this FBI agent that's tracking it, as we go along, he reveals more and more. It's a personal thing. We get a little bit more of the story. And he kind of reveals, you know, it's killed his partner. And essentially then the story becomes, we've got to take this thing down before it keeps jumping again. And you can only take it down when it's in between hosts.
That's right.
It's a critical thing.
Yeah, it's kind of the body keeps it safe. Well, it's also like it becomes, I guess, like the tension comes from he goes into like this senator guy that wants to be president. So he's now like trying to, you know, at first you think he's doing it for added safety because now he's got like people with guns like taking care of him. And then it's like, yeah. And they have a little conversation at the end where it's like, we could take over the world, man. These humans are idiots or whatever. And then it's a bit where Danny Trejo's there. And he's like, hey, I'm Danny Trejo. And then he gets shot and killed. Shoots him. That's a bit. I always remember because with that bit as well afterwards, like, I know we just jumped into the movie, but there's a shot where the two cops are kind of walking down a corridor and in the background you hear people like going, hey man, let us out, man. Hey, where you going, man? It's a really long shot. I was thinking, why are they holding on to this so long as they're walking down this corridor? Is this supposed to be the hero shot? Then at the end, so doing this background voice and someone goes, hey, that dude's from outer space. And then it cuts. And I'm just like, it's such a weird, fight it to end on after they just walked down this corridor for like a good solid, like 5 to 10 seconds. Sorry.
That's all right. Should we go back and kind of go through some of the best scenes and bits, things that we liked? And then maybe we'll discuss the kind of character reveal that occurs as well.
Let's do it. Kind of
covering the culmination. Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a little break. Lovely, 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 lovely. So what did you think like about the opening? Because I was like, this is quite a strong opening. Good old bank robbery. You see it from the security camera and then it's like, you're just watching, just basically blast people to death and you're like, okay. And then he gets in his car and drives off. And then there's this chase scene, which was all right. I thought it was an all right chase scene. But what I loved is that there's like this big wide shot and you see him drive off. And then the cop cars come and all the people are like, yeah, they're over there. He's over there. Go over there. And then the cops go and chase him. And then they have like a car chase scene, but in like loads of shots, you can just see like loads of people just standing around looking. It's just loads of people in the background. So like, just seeing what's up. It's quite funny. And then at one point they go back, like they chase around for ages. And then there's that shot from the same angle, but now they're coming back the other way. So it's very quick, but I was like, it's the same place. So the idea is he's done the chase. He's just gone in a big circle and now he's going back past the bank. He's just robbed. I don't know if that's on purpose or not, but that's quite funny.
I didn't pick up on any of that. I wasn't perceptive of you.
So it's quite funny. And yeah, I thought the chase scene was all right. But yeah, and then you've got your introduction to the, you know, the two cops, and they're, you know, they're and there's that scene. So I'm just kind of talking, but as I'm talking, I'm remembering. There's that scene in the office where, like, the two, I don't know, like, manager, cops, supervisors, whatever, are, like, arguing about, like, how great this cop is. And he's like, I need to take Burke or whatever. It's like, you can't have Burke. He's too good or whatever. Like, you got, but the guy who's, like, saying it is the most monotonous, like, man ever. So it's like, yeah, I've got to take Burke. He's like, yeah, you can't take Burke. He's my best cop. It's like, no, you gotta do it. You know, it's too bad. You know, you're gonna miss him. But come on, the other guy's great. You know, I need him. It's a big deal or whatever. He's really like, it's like, right. How the fuck is this guy?
You're not feeling the acting part.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. And then, funny enough, and then that's when Kyle MacLachlan comes in as his, you know, early Dale Cooper / Dougie, almost. That's a Twin Peaks. It's all Twin Peaks reference.
Yeah.
Like, slightly, like, weird, like, as if he's not really sure what's going on, which makes sense later on down the line, but yeah.
I really did get some Dougie vibes when I was watching this. I was like, it's not just referencing Twin Peaks. I feel like he's carried some stuff through to the Twin Peaks revival, limited series, yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I could see that. And yeah, he's a young FBI agent coming in, investigating a case, whatever. He's taking the, but this was it. Like, I was thinking, did he overhear what was happening? And that's why he was like, I've been told to take this cop. Or was he like, what was the lead up to this? Basically, well, it doesn't matter, but like,
yeah. Cause later on we find out he's not who he says he is. We can cover that in a little bit, but essentially, yeah, it's kind of like, what? How's he got away with this? Has he been officially assigned, or is he even an FBI agent? We never really find out.
Yeah, they have a little bit later on where it's like there was a fire in a forest, and this guy took his identity or whatever. But I was going to ask you about that because I was like, I don't understand what like, what's happened.
We can talk. There's a few loose ends, I think, in the storytelling that are interesting. So we can cover those a bit later.
Fine.
Yeah. So after that kind of initial opening, yeah, we get this kind of like, I don't know, action. I don't know if it's fair to call it action of this second guy that the aliens entered, kind of going about town. It's slightly comedic, the things he does.
And it's very comedic, yeah.
He goes to a record shop.
Yeah.
I love the stuff in the record shop because I love any record shop in movies. I always look out to see like what albums are being like promoted, what posters on the wall and everything. Basically, yeah, he's just randomly stealing CDs.
Yeah. Tapes, isn't it?
Is it tight?
Tapes in his pocket.
And the guy's like, hey, what are you doing? And he goes over to apprehend him. This guy just like chokes him to death, kills him, batters him.
Yeah, takes the money.
And then, yeah, like you say, he's like obsessed with this like nice car that he sees. And then we find out from Kyle MacLachlan's character that this is a pattern with this alien.
He likes Ferraris.
Just kind of. But basically, this alien likes sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah. Well, this is it, right? Cars. This is like, I was like, is this the deeper meaning where it's like, this is the 80s excess, you know? And that's the kind of thing, right? Is that the thing with this alien that's going around is it's just basically, it's like an addiction or whatever, in a sense that it just sucks people up, as in, it just literally uses them until he's done with them, and then he moves on to someone else. Like,
and you never find out really what is his agenda.
Yeah,
he's just a destructive force that likes gratification.
Yeah, that's it, and that's what I didn't understand. Like, I know we kind of answers it a bit later, maybe not fully, but like about like Kyle MacLachlan's side of it. But yeah, we'll kind of come on to that. But Yeah, but this stuff with the old man is great. Like, yeah, I love the way it's like, so he goes to like a car showroom and there's like the car salesman and the like young, rich, you know, kid. And he's like, yeah, I love this car. It's great. You know, it's brilliant, whatever. And then they go in to do coke, basically. Yeah. And the man's like, I want this car. And he's like, don't fucking touch the car. He's like, I'm going to buy this car. I'm going in now to buy this car. Don't fucking touch it. So he sends the showroom guy, sends his like colleague in, who's basically this massive black guy, to like, you know, stop him. And he ends up getting killed. And then, yeah, the guy, it's like, it's just so funny. He walks in and he's like, where are the keys? Whatever. It's like, give him the fucking keys. It's like, I just bought it. It's like, give him the fucking keys. He's like, okay, fine. There you go. And then he just goes, bye. Or something, and shoots him and kills him. These weird little like shit one-liners. It was great. Yeah, all that stuff. I'm like, this is for laughs, right? This is played for laughs.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it felt like, honestly, it felt like a David Lynch kind of humor. Some of the like awkward.
Like dark, yeah.
Dark, but kind of like, yeah, like a bit awkward and weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't make sense. Yeah.
Definitely like Dougie kind
of caricature.
Or like those bumbling, what's that? Alec Baldwin's character in Twin Peaks. But a bit like that kind of character as well.
Alec Baldwin is in Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Belushi. I don't know why I've mixed those two up.
Jim Belushi was in Twin Peaks.
James
Belushi. Yeah, Jim. Yeah. What are you talking about? Jim Belushi was dead by that point.
James Belushi. Yeah.
As in of Saturday Night Live?
No. That's John Belushi.
Oh, yeah. Who's James Belushi?
His brother.
His other brother.
Jim and James are one and the same.
How much has he got? Oh, you mean in the new one, the Vegas guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, John Belushi's there. Everyone's probably shouting at their fucking headphones, whatever they're listening to, going, that's John Belushi. John Belushi, idiot. But I'm gonna pretend I knew that and I didn't get confused and I was actually just winding Dan up.
Do you know what I mean? It's like that kind of like two kind of older guys who are threatening but actually just bumble around and occasionally kill someone, but it's all play for laughs.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean now. Good, cool. Got it. Yeah, I kind of forget how he goes. How does he die then?
He goes to a strip club.
Because he's
living his best life now. He's got an alien.
He finds it in a wallet. Well, there's that great bit before he goes to the strip club where, like, I can't remember, like, he's in the car and someone says something or whatever. And he's like, oh, God, he's trying to find his gun to, like, kill them. But by the time he's got his gun out, it's like, they're gone. I just love that whole, like, he's like, oh, where's that gun so I can kill them? Too late. I was so annoyed. And then looks in the wallet, and finds the strip club thing. I forgot about that. And then this woman, I forget her name, but she's in Babylon 5, I believe. She's one of the main characters.
Is it Claudia Christian?
Yes, it is.
I don't recognise her, but I just saw her name.
No, I didn't know that. I was reading how, like, basically the director wasn't impressed with her boobs. So in her outfit, that's why she walks around. She's basically got a bum out. She's basically gone, you've got a better bum than you have boobs. And apparently when she shot the gun at one point, she scratched her cornea or something like that. And so she was always hesitant in shooting guns from then on because of what happened.
That's terrible. What a horrible story.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm full of those. But yeah, he goes into the strip club and then he goes into the woman's body, basically, doesn't he?
We don't see it, do we? Because just see he goes into the room and she's like, all right, hey, show's over.
Yeah, get out of here.
Show's over. Yeah, can you like do one? And he doesn't do one. Next thing you see is she is leaving that dressing room, but it's obviously the alien. She's been taken over.
Yeah.
And she comes out, and basically the police at this point have managed to track this guy down.
Tracked him down.
And they're waiting. They're basically waiting. They found the car. He's crashed the car. So they're all hanging around on the street, but they're looking for this old guy. So she comes out, walks across the street.
No problem.
And she's just like basically getting in the same car again. They're all like, hey, don't get in that car. Don't get in that car.
Yeah, like, leave that car alone. But they're all like trying to storm the place. And this guy, that's it. And then this guy's coming up and he's doing this whole like, I love these kind of characters where it's like, do they actually exist? It's like, hey, baby, where you going? Hey, you like cars? Well, you know, I got a car with whatever. I'm just like, who the fuck are these people actually talk like that? They exist. Such like a classic character, like Cap Cronin and all this stuff.
Yeah,
it's so weird. But yeah, he takes him. He goes around back with her, and then he's basically having sex with her, and she kills him. Though I'm not actually sure how. I'm not actually sure what she does to actually kill him, but it's weird because I'm like thinking, I was thinking, oh, is it going to be like, it reminds me of a South Park thing. Oh, my mind's going to three different places, but like when it's like, it cuts and you're hearing the sex noises and I'm like, oh, okay. Cause I thought it might be like, he starts to get his dick out or whatever. And then she kills him and turns into an alien. But it's like, no, they're like in the middle of it. So he's like, you know, this alien's like, okay, cool. I'm down with this. And I'm like, okay, still going. Now it sounds like he's kind of getting killed. And it reminds me of that South Park episode where it's like the cop is the prostitute. Have you seen that one?
No.
It's one of my favorites. He goes, it's like an Irish cop. Well, he's American, but the whole thing is he's Irish. And he's got like a ginger tash. And he's all like, you know, cop guy, like caricature. And he goes undercover as a prostitute. But the thing is, he always arrests them after the act. So he's like, so it's like going down, this guy's like, oh, this guy's like, you know, oh, I've never done this before. It's like, okay, buddy, you got that $20 or something. He's like, yeah, okay, here you go. He's going, okay, let's do this. Start sucking him off, whatever. The guy's like, oh, you know, this question. He's like, oh, whatever. He's like, freeze. It reminds me of that. Like he's gone, the alien has decided to kind of like go through with it.
Yeah.
And then I'll kill him afterwards.
He wants to experience the full pleasures of life on Earth.
Well, it's a woman. I mean, that's the thing. He's like, he starts filling up his boobs as well, which I always thought was quite funny.
It's a little bit it's a bit like that Wim Wenders film about an angel that comes down to Earth so they can experience.
Oh,
experience love.
Oh, God, what is that called? So they remade it, didn't they? And it was called like Made in America or something, wasn't that?
Something like that. I can't remember.
City of Angels.
It's got Nick Cave in it a lot. Nick Cage. Bad Seeds.
Well, Nick Cage was in City of Angels, which is what I'm thinking is
Nick Cage. You're thinking it's Nick Cage. Nick Cave.
Yes, but yes, I know, but I'm saying it was City of Angels, which was
You're pulling my leg today, aren't you?
I'm not. An angel, fucking Google it. An angel comes down. It's based on that French film from whatever that was like, and it had like Columbo in, Peter Falk.
Until the End of the World.
Iggy Pop. That's not Iggy. I mean. City of Angels was Meg Ryan, I believe. Nick Cage is an angel who's come down. Okay.
So the original has Nick Cave. Wings of Desire
has Nick Cave in, are you sure?
Yes.
I definitely remember. Okay, right.
Wings.
I haven't seen it in a while. Okay, fine.
Wings of Desire's got Nick Cave and the remake's got Nick Cage.
There we go. Okay, that's what it is. See, so I'm not. See, you thought I was winding you up. It's true, actually. So you go.
But this is like a bastardization of that. They both came out the same year, actually, Wings of Desire and The Hidden.
Yeah.
Just, you know, coincidence.
Yeah,
it's like an alien has come down to Earth because he wants to experience being bummed in an alley.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he's like been hopping from planet to planet. Like,
yeah.
just doing as much evil and causing whatever carnage. He wants, basically. Yeah, fair enough.
I was concerned during this scene. I don't know if you're aware, there's a small fish in the Amazon it swims upstream.
Yes, I do know, and it stays there, basically, spikes and whatever.
Yeah, so if you urinate in the Amazon, it will swim against the flow of your stream.
Yes.
And will enter your urethra.
Yes.
And will lodge itself in there. So I don't know why, but I was just thinking...
Oh, you thought it might be something like that?
I was thinking that alien with its horrible long spidery legs is going to bloody crawl right up his cock.
Yeah, well, we should say that it's like, even if it's this creature thing, like when it was the old man, at one point he goes in and you can see like, it's all like in his veins and stuff. And apparently, you know, when it like kind of comes out of his arm, like this little, like, you know, this little tentacle thing. Apparently that was using some of the sound effects from The Thing, which I thought was quite interesting. So obviously it's the same kind of premise. And I think that's kind of the problem I had with the film. Mainly that I was like, I like stuff like this. But the thing, how The Thing literally worked and stuff like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or whatever, is that there was a tension in that you weren't sure who was what. And obviously there's no tension here because you know exactly who is taken over and it's only one person. Kyle MacLachlan knows just by looking, I guess, like who's got it and who hasn't. So there's none of that actual tension. It just becomes like he's just chasing down a killer, basically. But I was like, this could be anything. Like there's no, like the whole premise of it, like being in a person and hidden in a person is actually completely pointless because it might as well just be hunting anything.
There's not a lot of depth to this storytelling. It does become that, just like chase the alien onto the next guy, then the next guy, then the next guy. There's a little bit of intrigue, basically. Kyle's character.
Yeah, well, that's it. That's what I quite liked. I thought that was the kind of heart of it, is that, so throughout this whole thing, he's like kind of, buddying up with the other cop. He goes and stays with the family and they have a little chat. But he sees like the home life and like, you know, the wife and the daughter, and he's getting very upset about it. And I was thinking, is that, when he said, oh, my partner, he killed my partner or something, like you automatically think of it as like a cop thing, when actually does it mean like his... you know, wife or equivalent thereof, and like, you know, having kids and stuff. So,
yeah, I think that's, as it moves on, I think that was the conclusion I drew. So yeah, initially you think he's just talking about, his partner at the FBI, but then it becomes apparent later. It's his kid as well. He says, he says this thing killed his kid. And this is when you start kind of realizing there's something a bit weird about him when he's eating dinner with them.
Yeah, and he says
he's just a bit up. He's a bit old. And,
to the sky. Oh, north. Like, sure.
But there's a weird bit here where he goes into their daughter's bedroom while they're putting her to bed. And he sort of, they have a moment where they're both staring at each other, him and the little girl. It's like there's a communication passes between them. And then he like really weirdly and intensely kind of says, like, she's a very special little girl.
Well, that comes into play at the end as well. Because if you remember right at the end, the last shot, basically, spoilers, is that Kyle MacLachlan, he's dying, basically, the cop. So Kyle MacLachlan gives it equivalent of his alien thing, which is basically like this beam of light, and the little girl, and then he wakes up and he's like, oh, I'm cool now, I'm fine. But I think the idea is that it's still him. It's not Kyle MacLachlan taking over the body. It's still him. He's just given a little bit of his strength.
Rushed through quite a few revelatory things there. So the fact that Kyle MacLachlan is an alien.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Shit. Yeah. I just broke that. I think they would have figured it out. You kind of figure it out in the first 5 minutes, let's be honest. But the little girl, like, they share like a look, And I think she's like, cool. He's got a bit of alien in him. But we'll come to that, sorry. But yes.
They're kind of like little buddy-buddy thing where initially it's kind of like this guy's stepping on my toes and he's not telling me stuff. And they have a little, you know, little relationship that develops, little friendship. And so by this point where basically it's entered the stripper, they're kind of getting on a bit more. They chase that stripper up to the top of a building.
Yeah.
He produces a really weird...
Yeah, it's a weird gun thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
laser ray.
Alien gun. Fails to kill the alien. It falls off the building and goes splat on the street. And then he's desperately rushing down there because obviously he's like, this is my only opportunity to kill it. And they approach the body, some guy, one of the cops with a sniffer dog.
Mm.
And when he gets down to the street, he's really angry. He's like, who touched the body? Who moved it?
Yeah.
Like, just drop angry. It. He's just dead.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just
drop
like,
it, man. He's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, exasperated. But and then this is where basically the guy, the cop, is like, arrest him. Because he won't tell me what's going on. I've had
exactly.
enough.
He's like, he knows what's going on. Something weird's happening. Arrest him. And then, he takes him. This is where he takes him back to the jail. He does a bit of research. He gets his mate to do some background research. This is where we find out that he's taken another appearance. But by this point, you've kind of figured out like he's an alien as well. And then basically, Carl McLaughlin just tells him.
Yeah. But I was kind of thinking that he probably is an FBI agent. Like legitimate FBI. I thought he's an alien who...
He just happens to be at the FBI.
Well, he's come here and he's worked his way through the Bureau undercover to be in this position.
Yeah, I don't think it's that.
No, because this throws that out the window because basically he's adopted the persona of some guy who's been burned in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not sure like what the actual timeline is for this thing. We know that like the first guy had been doing it for a couple of weeks, but we don't know what was happening before that.
Yeah. That's the big reveal. He lets him in. Full transparency between the two.
Exactly. They're friends now.
Now they're going to rock and roll and kick butt and finally bring this mother down.
Yeah. But what else is happening with the alien now, Dan?
Well
it's a crucial part.
Well, it has entered into the dog.
Mm.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
And
you said Carl McLaughlin could see it, but this bamboozles him.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't know why he couldn't figure this one out, but okay, yeah. I don't think he sees the dog. I think the dog's around.
He doesn't see it. Yeah, he does not see it. That's true. So now the alien's in the dog. You think, wow, boundaries of this film have just opened up. This could be hilarious if the dog's suddenly trying to drive a sports car and take
Ferrari,
coke and go to a strip club. I was all up for that. I was like, this is going to be great.
But didn't last long.
They don't explore the whole alien dog possession.
They don't, no.
It's a shame.
No, instead it goes into the monotonous superintendent or whatever that was at the beginning that I was just taking the piss out of. I don't know what I can't remember what we see. I don't think we see much of anything, do we?
I can't remember. No, it just
like knock his head or something like that. It gets knocked out.
Yeah.
Something like that.
This guy, his name's Ed O'Ross, the actor. I was like, I really, really recognise him. He was really seemed very familiar to me. But I'm looking at the films he's been in. I can't think what I've actually seen him in recently. But he's been in like Red Heat, Lethal Weapon, Universal Soldier, Dick Tracy, loads of stuff from around late 80s, early 90s.
Weird.
But he's another kind of quite unhealthy looking man, I think. He's about to
They all look normal. Yeah. That's what I quite liked about it. It's like they're all like normal looking. I mean, one thing we should say, which I do really like about it, is that when they're, it's kind of Terminator-ish, but as in like when they're getting shot or maimed in any way, like they just brush it off. They don't even react to it.
Yeah.
So like they're getting riddled with bullets, but they don't feel it, even though Carmen Clockin says, "I feel pain" or whatever later on. But these guys don't act like it. And I quite like that, the idea of just like, they're just absorbing the bullets like it's nothing.
Yeah.
It makes me think of like when you're a video game character or something and you're like playing Call of Duty, you know, just like absorbing these bullets. That's what it must look like on the outside.
Yeah. Or something
looking in. But yeah, he gets into the cop and then he goes to the police station and everyone's all like busy. And everyone's like, "Oh, I thought you had the day off." And he's like, "Where's Carl McLaughlin?" basically. And then, yeah, they start playing around with that alien gun and it blows a hole in the wall and it's all just a bit chaotic. I quite like this little bit in the prison. I thought it was quite cool.
Yeah. Again, it reminded me a bit of Terminator when he goes to the police station.
Right. I'll be back. Yeah.
And you've got the chaos just blowing shit up in the... That's always good, isn't it? Because the police station should feel like the safe space, the stronghold. What's the other film, John Carpenter, Precinct...
Escape from Precinct 13.
Yeah.
Assault, sorry. Escape. That's,
yeah. It's always... I like scenes set in police stations where things go wrong. People get in.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And also, like, when it's like a horror film or something, it always makes me think of, like, Resident Evil 2, the game, where, like... 80 to 90% of that is in a police station. And it's supposed to be like your safe haven.
Yeah.
And it's the most dangerous place you could actually be.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was all good. And then, yeah, at this point, then it kind of becomes like a thing about the president, not the president, like the senator, sorry.
Who wants to be president?
Yes. Which, again, this is funny. I watched Dead Zone recently. Have you seen that?
No, I don't think I ever have. I can see the font, but I don't think I've ever actually watched it.
Yeah, it's like one of those like quite iconic video box set poster artwork. And I was like, I've never seen it. I need to watch that. It's a Stephen King thing.
Isn't it with Christopher Walken?
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I watched like 20 minutes of it or something in a foreign country, in a hotel room or something like that. And I was just like, I don't know what's going on.
Well, spoiler alert, that leads up to him making a decision about, basically he meets this senator who's really slimy and he can see the future of that guy. And he sees that he becomes president and presses the big red button to start the nuclear winter.
I missed this bit. I don't remember seeing that bit.
No, well, that's kind of like the end of the film, basically. So then he has to decide. He starts going the whole, like, oh, if you could go back in time, would you kill Hitler and all this? So, yeah, he basically decides at that point, I'm going to have to kill him because it's going to destroy all of mankind. So that kind of just reminded me of this a bit, where they're like, except it's in the reverse.
Oh, well, so you're saying that's what happens in Dead Zone?
In Dead Zone, yes.
Sorry, okay, I thought it was what you're saying happened in this film.
No, no, no.
I don't remember that bit. Okay, fine.
But we get a little bit of that kind of similar plot point.
Because
This guy goes to kill the senator, chaos. In the chaos, the alien enters the senator. And then we get Carl McLaughlin come in. And you're like, how's this going to work? Because he can't obviously, in front of all these people, it's like, you know, all the like press and loads of people around. You're like, how's he going to manage this? Like with stealth, he can't just stride out in front of everyone and murder a man. That's exactly what he does. It's a fucking flamethrower.
I mean, it's great. I mean, that was the thing is that when he was getting like, so there's a couple of things, right, before leading up to this point. One, the eagle-eyed people out there might see that the presidents or the senators wife or whatever she is the woman who now fronts all the fucking like conjuring and Annabelle films and all this stuff, the old lady. Not that, no, what one do I mean? Not Conjuring. Well, maybe it is Conjuring, but the, what's the other ones? Insidious, that was it. Woman, that's what I mean, the old woman, that's her. But also, like, when he's getting carried off, and, like, Carl McLaughlin's like, oh, God, and he's being protected or whatever, I was thinking, just shoot him in the fucking head. Like, as soon as the alien starts coming out, like, people are going to, like, freak the fuck out. And that's what's funny is, like, I was thinking, what's he actually waiting for? Like, who cares? And then the next scene is him just not giving a fuck and just basically doing that on a bigger scale, but with a flamethrower.
Awesome. I thought
it was great. Just that image of him there with a flamethrower was just like, that's fucking cool.
And he looks so straight-laced, you know, he essentially looks like Agent Cooper with this flamethrower torching a man.
Exactly. And also, like, he's being shot like multiple times whilst this is happening.
Of course.
Running through.
All the security agents are shooting him.
Yes, it's all this big slow-mo thing. But yeah, and then kills him with the flamethrower. And I was just thinking, no one's shooting him whilst he's still got the flamethrower either, which I thought was quite funny. He's just standing there, they're just letting him burn him. And then someone just goes, look, and the fucking creature starts coming out. And then, yeah, he's got his magic gun. He just zaps it, and the thing just fucking explodes.
I was loving this, because obviously, like I said, I thought the best bit of this film was when we first see it coming out of the guy's mouth. So I was just like, really ready to get another glimpse of this thing. So it was quite good fun when it came out. And then it was just like, pyong!
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite cool as well. Also, I wasn't really sure that Carl McLaughlin could heal himself, because I was like, I thought, like, when these things get shot, they just, like, still die.
Yeah.
But yeah, once this happens in the next scene, like, his mate who got shot, we should say, like, the cop got shot a couple of times.
Yeah.
In the chase. Well, the whole thing actually was that he goes into another cop, doesn't he? We missed one. Yeah. We missed one transition. He goes into, like, one of the cops. But anyway, and then when he wakes up in the hospital, I'm like, how come Carl McLaughlin's fine? And the other guy's like, no one's thought, oh, he's got like 20 bullets in him. And also, he's just, is he not been like arrested for like burning a man to death?
Senator
knows. And all that. Exactly, yeah.
Don't worry about
that. Even if he was a lizard person or whatever.
So this is where, he, and this is quite nicely done because it's not completely explained, but I think, you know, we kind of can see what's going on here. He puts himself into the dying cop. Basically, it's an act of some sacrifice, I suppose. But actually, he's not really sacrificing anything because he's presumably still himself, just in a different body. And he will continue to live on basically as this guy for the benefit of his wife and daughter. So they've got a family.
Yeah, so let me get it straight. So there's that. So has he taken over? Has Carl McLaughlin taken him over? Well, I thought, did he just give him a bit of his power so he could heal himself? Or is he actually like, I'm fully in this guy now?
I think, yeah, that's literally what he said. I'm fully in this guy. I think that's it. I think he kind of, I presume he has the same bio genetics as the alien we've seen. So he's been in a Carl McLaughlin shaped vessel.
So what happens to Carl McLaughlin's body then?
Same thing that happens to Dougie's body.
No,
Twin it's Peaks.
It's definitely not that.
Because this is, again, like I said, this is like a bit like that Dougie storyline where when Cooper kind of finally comes around, do you remember there's that quite emotional scene in the, with the wife and kid where he's kind of like,
yeah, what's her name? Naomi Watts.
Yeah. Because he's such a decent guy.
Mm.
Doesn't want them to be left with nothing.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. All right.
But also, presumably, he knows something about this little girl. So there's something else going on here, I think, whereby he wants to stay to maybe oversee and protect this girl.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's setting up for a sequel, or maybe you're reading too much into it. I think it's more just like, she knows. I think the whole thing was just to set up that look at the end of being like, she knows there's some alien shit going on.
But how does she know? How does she know?
It's not
he says like she's special.
I don't know. It's that whole thing where it's like, oh, the kids see through the bullshit or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. They were setting up for a sequel. Apparently, some of this is addressed in the sequel.
There was a sequel?
Yeah. Mm. Some of it apparently addressed. But I won't be watching that because it apparently is absolute garbage.
Mm. I might see it. I'd be up for watching it. I felt like it ended a bit abruptly compared to the investment that we put into it. I think as well, like, I really wanted this bad guy to be like a bad guy, like with a motive, but he's just so like nothing. He's just like, I'm just going to fuck around and consume everything until I move on. It's like, okay. Like, but can you have a bit more to you? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the film, it doesn't have like high stakes. And like we said, it's quite linear. So it doesn't really have a ratchet up the drama. And everything just kind of is like, okay, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Bob's your uncle. We get the conclusion that we expect, where he like tracks it down and kills it. And then it's just like, well, thanks. But like I said, that's kind of sometimes all you want. I was quite just like happily entertained for 90 minutes. Nice, cozy, comfortable late 80s kind of sci-fi thing with some cool music as well.
Yeah, exactly. It does what it says on the tin a bit. Yeah, I thought it was all right.
I thought it had a little bit of a Repo Man vibe as well.
Yeah.
Do you like that film?
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't seen that. You know, I should go back and watch that, really. There's loads of fucking films I should go back and rewatch. So you quite liked it. I thought it was all right. It's all right. Yeah, as you said, just one of those kind of films. Should we see what other people thought? Should we go to...
Let's do that. Yeah.
Reviews. Let's go.
Okay, reviews. We've come to IMDb. That's the best place to get all the lowdown on every film ever, don't you find?
That's the Internet Movie Database, yes.
Who are sponsoring this show? Not.
I wish. Hit me.
I'm going to hit you with a 3-star review. So we're not going to the bottom of the barrel. This is a sort of middling mediocre review. See what you think of this.
Okay.
Daniel Stilgard with his review titled Long. This film is more an action film than a horror film. I want to have more horror than action in horror movies. Well, watch a fucking horror movie then, you dick. It is too much science fiction in this film. The Hidden is not as good as I expected.
Is this the same review? Sorry, is this a different review now?
This is the same review.
Okay.
The Hidden is not so good I expected to be. The atmosphere of the horror is very silly and bad. It's not fucking horror.
Yeah, it's not horror.
I want to have more serious horror in horror movies. The monster in humans' bodies is very silly and ridiculous. The directing by Jack Sholder is good, and some of the actors act very well. It would be a week 2. Why have you given it 3 then, you cunt?
Jesus. You certainly aren't a fan of this guy. Yeah, it's, you know, I hate it when people use words of things like, you know, to describe things as good. They did very well. It was good. It's like a 5. I went to the park and it was good. He wanted an actual horror film. So, I mean, that's the thing, is that sometimes like sci-fi is always getting mixed up with horror when it's like, it doesn't mean it's horror. If it's sci-fi, doesn't mean that it's horror. Like Babylon 5, that's sci-fi, doesn't mean it's horror.
You know? It's just weird going in expecting, you know, certain cliches and tropes and things. I don't know. Why would you go into a film with such rigid expectations?
Could be more open-minded with your sci-fi slash horror.
Should we look at a good one? A 10-star review.
Wow. 10 stars. Out of what?
On my all-time top 50 list.
Jesus.
Hidden is an unknown gem of a movie. Well, that's true. I'm surprised. I'm really surprised that I'd never heard of this.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, I thought it was that fucking French film from like 10, 15 years ago called Hidden. I was very much surprised when it turned out to be this. Sorry, go on. What's this guy saying?
That its sci-fi probably kept its popularity down, but it's one of the best sci-fi films ever. Michael Nouri proves once again that he deserves every leading man role he gets. And the ever quirky Kyle MacLachlan is at the top of his weird form. Highly recommended for an evening of unexpected fun.
Yeah, it was quite fun. I wish they'd just done more with it. I don't know. Not necessarily more as in like more scenes, just like, I don't know. Yeah, like make it a bit more like tense. That's the saying, like make it a bit like, oh, who could it be? Could be anyone. Don't know.
Yeah, there wasn't enough drama.
Mm.
10 out of 10, this film has it all. Great direction, superb performances, and good locations. And it's from the 80s. Really, you just can't gush enough when it comes to this cult sci-fi classic. Yes, it's low budget, but at least its heart's in the right place. And despite its B-movie premise, there's definitely an A-plus delivery in the proceedings. I know a few people have said this predates The X-Files, which I'll have to agree with.
It does.
Of course you have to agree with it.
It's like, that's how time works.
Kyle MacLachlan obviously precurses his soon-to-be famous Agent Cooper role in Twin Peaks and pulls it off convincingly. He handles guns with effortless cool and deadpans to great effect. And so on and so forth. Watch this inferior sequel.
Watch what?
He's talking about the sequel here.
Watch the inferior sequel.
Watch this inferior sequel.
Okay. And
watch it again and again. If only to see how the writers had loads of fun with the running joke of who, what the alien would inhabit next. And trust me, running when the joke dog gets it, you'll be falling off your chair with laughter.
Oh, God. Let me ask you a question. Has anyone actually ever fallen off their chair in laughter?
Not.
Has anyone ruffled? Has anyone rolled on the floor laughing? Yeah. Has anyone done that? That's become a thing. This has to become a saying.
If you're listening and this has happened to you, let us know.
Kill yourself.
Yeah.
You're finding things too funny. Play it cool. At least play it a little bit cool. Get up off the floor. Stop rolling around laughing like a little schoolgirl and man up. Jeez.
I think this guy would like Woof.
Yeah, I think he liked Woof as well. Which, for people that don't know, is a, I don't know if they made it in America, but it was a British children's TV show about a little boy who turned into a dog. And back again.
It's great. Can you imagine how much he'd be laughing? Laugh himself into an early grave.
He'd be ruffling and, yeah.
And he'd farting. Rolling shitting his pants. Couch.
Exactly. Why would he be shitting his pants?
Just with glee. Reckless abandon in the moment.
That's what you do.
Yeah, when you're laughing and you can't control it, you just lose all your bodily functions, just go to pot.
I don't think I've laughed so much that I've shat myself. I think that's the equivalent of rolling on the floor. I think people are making too much of a drama. I think people are forgetting what happens when they laugh.
Yeah. It's basic human function. We don't need to over egg it.
No.
I do think just shitting on the floor laughing would be better than rolling on the floor laughing, though.
Well, I don't know.
Or just shitting all over the shitting everywhere in laughter.
Well, you don't want to roll after you've shat either. You don't want to shit on the floor laughing and then roll on the floor laughing.
That's the last thing you want to do.
Yeah, might be very funny. Right. Quite disgusting.
If you see something funny, shit on the floor, ideally in the corner, and just immediately go and sit back down.
Yeah. Try that.
And, you know, let's avoid this whole horrible, messy business.
Yeah. Dan, this is a complete tangent thing, but in front of me is an Indiana Jones thing. And I was thinking, wouldn't a great porn film be called In Diana Jones? And if that hasn't existed already, it should.
In Diana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Clitoris. I don't know.
That's been found. The Last Crusade. That's just menopause. Don't know. God. Sorry. Okay.
Let's look for it. Someone's done it.
Someone's done it somewhere. I think that's it for today. It's getting a bit late and we've gone a bit weird. The Hidden. It was a hidden gem and now it's come to light. So.
Yeah. If you like, 80s sci-fi, nice, easy watching buddy cop film, get a few beers, have a laugh, but not too much of a laugh.
Get up off the floor. Thanks everyone for listening and we'll see you on the next one. Goodbye.
See ya.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Oddcast Movies, Music and Gaming. If you want to get in touch with us or get a movie, album or game put on our list to discuss, then email us at oddcastoddballs@gmail.com or anewwinterpodcast@gmail.com. This is part of a New Winter Podcast Network, so head on over to anewwinter.net to check out our other shows. You can also follow us on Instagram @anewwinter, Twitter @anewwinter, and you can head on over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/anewwinter. Thanks for listening and see you again soon.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.